Welcome to another rousing edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. With us is Keith Johnson, crack phenomenon, producer, and other stuff too. And here's your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Work. Yay! Give you a quick overview of what we're going to do. We will hit some cool news items, which Ryan will walk us through. We have a very special guest joining us today for a segment on self-producing and creating your own content. That'd be Miss Tanya Perez.
Hello.
Welcome. All the way here from New York. And then we'll do a little tippy tap and then we're out. So that's pretty much it in all the day's work.
Let's get to the news. All right. What a Golden Globes we had. The first report afterward about Ricky Gervais's performance was from Pop Eater. An anonymous Foreign Press Association member said, and I quote, "Ricky will not be invited back to host the show next year for sure." And he said, "For sure, any movie he makes, he can forget about getting nominated. He humiliated the organization last night and went too far with several celebrities whose representatives have already called to complain." And then later on, the HFPA released a statement that goes, "We loved the show. It was a lot of fun and obviously had a lot of people talking. When you hire a comedian like Ricky Gervais, one expects in-your-face and sometimes outrageous material." So
I just want to say it's got to be really nice to have fuck you money.
Right.
You know, to just be able to stand up there and say some of that shit, and that's got to be great.
Well, you know, I think it's pretty clear that they knew what was coming.
Oh,
this is not a surprise,
sure.
And they're just covering their asses, and this was the plan from the get-go. I think, you know, we know that the Golden Globes are not necessarily the best bellwether for the Oscars, but a lot of predictions came true. The Social Network won Best Picture Drama. Colin Firth, Natalie Portman, and Annette Bening all won, as did Toy Story 3 for Best Animated Feature. It's pretty interesting. I enjoyed the show.
I don't know that there were that many surprises.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Great, some great moments, though. Chris Colfer's acceptance speech.
Yay! And he thanked the casting director, which rarely happens.
Right?
And I love it when that happens. It's fantastic.
It's pretty phenomenal. And Katie Sagal, one of my favorites, won Best Actress Drama. This was her sixth nomination, I think. And she finally won. I think she's really underappreciated.
That is absolutely true. And I think it has everything to do with where she got her start. And, you know, like, she came to fame. I don't know that she's a household name even yet, even though she's
She will be if she plays Sarah Palin, as she was asked if she would do.
You think she will?
Were I she, I would.
Well, all right. No, but it's just the whole Peg Bundy thing, you know, doing a what's really considered a baseline level, you know, low-brow humor kind of show for a fledgling network at the time. That's an interesting way to get branded, and it makes it tough to then be considered a serious actor later.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, when I saw her guest stint on Lost, and I was like, wow. She really can be dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty good. She's pretty good. Well, anyway.
Good for her.
We'll see where this takes her. Up next are the BAFTAs. Yeah, so the King's Speech leads with 14 nominations, Black Swan with 12. Do we think that the King's Speech is going to get Best Picture there because it's on the home turf?
At BAFTA, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a done deal.
Now, how does that bode for the Oscars then?
I think a lot depends on the Independent Spirit Awards because it's not enough to just get the Golden Globe and the BAFTA if it's a British film. Because if it's a British film, you assume you're going to get the BAFTA anyway. And so if you also get the Independent Spirit, that's a slam dunk. You're going to get the Oscar.
Although, you know, it's nominated for both Best Picture and Outstanding British Film. So could it win both?
I don't know the BAFTA requirements on that, but I would imagine if it's nominated in both categories, it's eligible to win both categories.
Sure, but are they going to give it both?
Don't know.
You never know.
Those crazy Brits, don't know.
I think it would be kind of ridiculous for it to win Best Feature and not win Best British.
Well, but Toy Story, you know, they're pushing to win the Best Animated Feature at the Oscars and also Best Picture.
It's never been done.
Never been done, that's true. And an animated feature has not won Best Picture since the Best Animated Feature came to be. Moving on, the Sundance juries have been announced, including but not limited to the U.S. documentary jury, including Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons and Futurama, and the U.S. dramatic jury, including America Ferrera and Jason Reitman, among others. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think U.S. documentary, The Simpsons.
I'm not really connecting the two there, but I know they need players.
Do.
You know,
it's stunt casting.
Yeah, I mean,
there are other very qualified people on the juries too, who are just not names you might not recognize if you weren't super aware of the industry. But it is what it is. So a few interesting ratings things. Disney's Hannah Montana goes out on a high note.
Yeah, I gotta know. I didn't watch. So, but I'm guessing you did. And so, spoiler alert for anyone who did not watch the series end, do they finally get it on? Billy Ray and Hannah Montana, do they finally because when she's Hannah, she's not little Cyrus' daughter, right?
Well, right. And then Billy Ray Cyrus gets the best of both worlds.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. I'm guessing no, they didn't.
No, they did not. They did garner.
I was hoping
to get together. They did garner 6.2 million viewers according to Deadline. So
that's very good.
It was their highest rated show ever in the 7 p.m. hour for total viewers and kids 6 to 11. So not bad. And then Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, moves on to get her non-Disney money.
She's going to be making Disney money a long time.
Yeah, she is. The FCC has approved the Comcast-NBCU merger in a 4-to-1 vote. The one standout was Democrat Michael Copps. So what does this mean?
It means bad news for everybody. When you have a distribution entity who is also a production entity, you get two effects. The first one is they control the products that go onto Comcast's distribution network, which means they'll be taking all
which
of
MTC
stuff. And they won't use anybody outside, because why would you take people not in the family into your house? And secondly, anybody who wants to get anything from Comcast's production arm, NBC material, any of those shows, will have to pay more than what Comcast charges Comcast for distribution.
You know, they say, the FCC says we're approving this under conditions, and that includes all across all platforms, access to content, net neutrality, stuff like that. But, you know, those things don't get enforced anymore.
Well, no way. Access to all content is fine. The issue that you have is price equity.
And no one's going to enforce that.
You're not going to get price equity, and that means that market forces are going to dictate that nobody other than Comcast is going to be able to afford NBC material.
Well, this has been coming for a long time. The pendulum is swinging in the free market direction, it takes a good mix of regulation and free market, I think, for any industry to thrive. And it's, I think, across the board, things in America are headed that way. Deregulation, so on and so forth. And this will go poorly. Bad things will happen. And then it'll become time to start busting trusts again.
Well,
so,
let's hope. You know, and it didn't work for FinCEN, which was, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 2025.
When they deregulated syndication versus...
Yeah, 20 years ago. I was in J school. Yeah.
Wow. That should be interesting. And to wrap up the news, on a lighter note, Regis Philbin is retiring from Regis and Kelly.
How is that a lighter note?
Are they going to do...
But he's moving on to bigger and better things. He still holds the record for the most hours spent in front of a television camera.
Wow.
Are they going to do the contest like they did when Kathy Lee left, and you can try and be the new Kathy Lee, and now we can try and be the new Regis?
The show goes on, and Kelly Ripa will still be on it, so who knows? I think that should be really interesting.
I have a feeling that show is going to die.
Oh, no. She is a very,
I think
very
she's
popular...
A valuable commodity
She's like a Katie Couric.
Because he has spent a lot of time not on the show recently in the past few years with, I think, heart surgery, I think. You know, his health has come into question a couple times, and he's not been on the show.
Big shoes to fill, for sure, but I think if they do it right, they'll find somebody really great and have another, good 20-year...
Oh, gosh.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hugh Jackman.
I'd set my alarm for that one. Mm.
Welcome to Hugh Jackman Shirtless in the Morning.
I would wake up early.
Speaking of waking up early, I think it's time to introduce our wonderful guest, Tanya Perez. Hooray! Thank you so much for joining us.
Tanya, you're here from New York.
Yes, New York City.
What brings you to our blustery winter in Southern California? Oh.
Besides this terrible weather.
Yeah, sorry about that. I wish we could fix it up for you.
It's the salsa dancing. Tell us it's true.
Yes, it is. No, I'm here to, I have a screening tomorrow night for my web series. It's called EDP and DJ Maltese, That's a Wrap. We've had it launched since November online, and we are now going to launch it tomorrow, big screen, with a bunch of other web series for the Web Series Unplugged series at El Cid. So I'm very excited.
So tell me, as you're producing something, because you are the producer, writer, actor.
And sometimes everything else.
Editor, musician,
operator.
Craft services. Yes. Yeah, got it. Indie production at its best. Totally understand. So when you're creating this, did you ever imagine that it would be something that we'd see on a big screen? I mean, because you made it for the web, right?
Yeah, I did. And I literally originated for not even for the web. It was just like for a class.
So for private consumption.
Yes. So, but we when we decided to go ahead and like, we'll go ahead and do a web series. I had no idea after working on it for a year that we would actually be having over 90,000 viewers.
Dear God.
And being able to watch it on a big screen. And not only that, I've been invited again and again for other screenings. And it's exciting. It's not what I thought would happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you thought going into this. Like, did you know I'm going to create this character and this is going to be a series and I'm going to be the one producing this for the long haul? I mean, like, what, talk about, for anybody who aspires to produce a series, what sort of tips would you give so that they start on the right foot?
Well, I had come up with the idea and I brought along my producing partner and also the other component, ADP.
She doesn't talk, does she?
No, she doesn't talk.
What a great character.
I know, but she actually, she does the most of the lyric writing to all of the raps and and joins me in all of the hijinks that we do when we've been filming. We did everything that we could possibly do wrong. We did some things right. We just kind of jumped in with both feet and we said, all right, we like this. Let's see if we can do this. And when we found out that we couldn't edit ourselves, we called in favors and we asked some people, and we also did it under the SAG New Media Agreement and asked some people to go ahead and be in it. Ended up Taft Hartley, half of the cast, because That's we great. Needed them for specific things. So we just kind of like, at that point, we were just like, okay, we'll go ahead and keep creating. And then we ended up doing 5 episodes, a lot of crunch time, a lot of lag time, and we ended up putting it up on Stay Tuned TV. As far as advice, I would just say it's like, there's a lot of stuff that you can go ahead and find. There are a lot of places where you can go to the websites, watch really great series. You know, I think one of my favorites is Pretty, the series.
Oh, yeah.
It's such
Steve
a great
Silverman series.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's so pretty and funny. But there's tons of that. We kind of did what we wanted to see, what we could test as producers. And I even asked a producer friend, you know, I was like, do you have any advice? He's like, it's kind of just trial by fire, really. Yeah. I can't give you too much advice other than, you know, just learn what you can and keep learning and then keep doing it and testing it. So, and that's what I think both Phoebe and I have done.
So where do we go from here? What are we going to see next from these characters and from you as a producer?
I've got some other things that I'm going to, that I've kind of brainstormed over the years. And I think I'm going to start writing, really fleshing all this stuff out. But as far as ADP and DJ Model T, Phoebe and I have talked about doing a series, season 2. And this time we're saying, okay, well, we need money. We need to sit down and write. We need to make sure that we have a crew in place and that we do now everything the right way after learning all the speed bumps.
Yeah.
So that's what we're planning. And we're going to, you know, at the same time, we're going to take our time with it. We want to really make it nice and polished and do it a step up from the no budget look of ADP DJ Malty now.
That's great. That's great. But that was a part of the design of the original series, right?
Yeah.
Was to look.
We really didn't want to spend a lot of money. I think we spent like $300. We bought the camera and shot it on a still camera. And then we ended up...
For the techs out there, what camera did you end up buying?
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Oh, it's the Sony CyberShot, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Sony CyberShot. It's an amazing, it has an amazing HD quality for the movie portion of it, except it's really designed for still.
Right.
Everyone else has got the Canon, and then people are using flip, and then using, I mean, even when we shot one of the first kind of like, not really episodes, but it was an episode, we used, I think, 3 different cameras. One of them was the flip, the iPhone, and then we used 4. We used 4 different cameras. And those, and we
ended
up... I know
Jacob, we shot the Christmas video with Jacob's Sony.
That's the one that Phoebe ended up buying. Okay. She's like, okay, this is the nicest one.
I love that little camera.
It's amazing.
But so your entire first season budget was $300.
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
For the camera, basically.
Pretty much.
Now, if you had actually paid people a professional wage, what would it have been?
I don't know.
If you were paying all of the people that chipped in here, how many people do you think
that's a good question. How many favors do people need to be prepared to ask for?
I honestly...
And what do you owe all those men?
And women.
Well, I don't owe them anymore.
Oh, I just pat my pants.
I would say it's like, I mean, a couple $1,000, and then that's just paying. We really had a very limited crew, but we had a lot of actors, and we also had my friend from, like, since we were 12, Stephen Guarino, who he ended up coming in directing probably about 3 of the episodes.
Oh, that's great.
If I think about salaries, if we were going to go ahead and pay a SAG salary, thousands of dollars for this, for just 5 episodes. And they're, you know, they run about, like, anywhere from, like, 4 to, like, 6 minutes. So I feel so grateful for the people who ended up wanting to work on it, just because they had, you know, and we had a lot of fun doing it, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and at the end of it, that's really it, though. People want to work, and they want to collaborate with people they enjoy working with. So you're able to bring in people who are like, you know, hey, yeah, I'm an actor. Sure, I'm free Tuesday. Yeah, I need a SAG card. Let's do it. You know, yeah. So they're willing.
And we're also, you know, I think that it's, you know, I did it because, you know, part of it was because I was bored and I had nothing else to do. And I also didn't have, you know, I've worked only just mildly on the small screen, doing TV and even, you know, didn't some independent. But I needed the experience.
Yeah.
And I mean, both Phoebe and I both did. So we were just like, okay, well, we've got a camera. Why not? Stop talking about it. Let's do it.
I think that's phenomenal. I think, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are casting directors and sound engineers and DPs, so on and so forth, who are wanting to come up in the business, and it's hard to break in, but the best thing you can do is create work for yourself, build a resume, build a reel, and build a portfolio. I hope that more and more people start to move in that direction, because I think that the people who succeed in the next generation of the entertainment industry are the people who start producing for themselves and go on from there.
Absolutely, and that's a big part of what this podcast is all about, is talking to people who are the hyphenates, who are the, you know, self-starters. They're the people who aren't going to sit and wait for the phone to ring. You know, they really are taking advantage of the, let's say, Wild West era that we've now returned to in the entertainment industry right now, which is where we really are having to go out and create it for ourselves. And I highly recommend, even if you can do it all yourself, that you surround yourself with a team of people that wants to do it with you, because that is going to only be additive to what you try and create. And a lot of people get into the whole, like, no, I'm going to control it all. I'm going to produce and direct, and I'm going to write. And yes, you can do all those things, but find somebody who is a casting assistant who, when the show that they're working on is on hiatus, would love to cast your web series or your short film or whatever, or even your feature for that matter, because they're looking to build credits, and they may have relationships that you don't, and that can only add to what you've put together.
And I like the things that I can do, but I also know where I'm limited, and I know I need to go ahead and reach out to other people, because it's only going to make things easier on my end as a producer, and making, you know, and I can concentrate on being, I can be DJ Model T and really concentrate on that and concentrate on creating that work, and then letting everybody else who knows how to do that stuff, please do it. Please do it.
Right. Fantastic. Well, Tanya, thank you so much. Tanya Perez.
Where are we going to see her tomorrow night?
El Cid?
Yes, El Cid at the web series Unplugged series.
Awesome.
Congratulations on that, and hope you'll stick around in LA for a little while.
Yeah.
Miss Bicoastal.
I haven't bought my plane ticket yet back.
All right. Good news. Good news. All right. So New York, start the bidding. You want her back? You got to pay. just a quick tip for some actors out there, and it's a little controversial, because I know that the idea is get in front of people that need to see your work. Yeah, we had a situation on a project that I've been casting where an actor came in for pre-reads, and then he earned a callback. So when I rolled out the appointments for callbacks, he called and said, because I rolled them out electronically, so then he called in response to the C-mail at Actors Access and said, actually, I'm not going to accept this role if offered, so I probably should decline the callback. And I'm like, well, if you're going to decline the role if offered, why did you come to the pre-read? And he said, I have been a fan and I like your work and wanted to get on your radar because I see things that you're casting, and not this, but something else I probably want to work on. So I just wanted to make sure you knew me and know my work. And I know him and know his work and liked his work enough to offer a callback, but now he's always going to be in my brain as the guy who took a slot away from somebody who actually would have wanted that job. And so then I guess the question is, do you go in for the job interview when you know you have no intention of accepting the job?
I think that's such an incredibly rude and inconsiderate thing to do. The film that I'm putting together now, we considered a lot of directors, and there was one that we talked to, but he wasn't going to be available when we thought we were going to shoot at that time. And if he hadn't told us that, and if he had let us bring him in to meet him and to buy him lunch and waste a few hours of our time getting to know him.
And fall in love with him.
And then turns out we didn't need it. We couldn't use him. And he knew that in advance.
But what if he looked at it, well, you know, this is a relationship for the next 50 years. I'm hoping to get to know these folks so that they can use me on, because this is not going to be the only project they produce.
But you don't build relationships by having ulterior motives. That, you know, you don't have to be anything other than straightforward and upfront and honest in order to build a career.
On this one. I know, but actors constantly get told you got to get in front of your buyers, even if it's not this project.
Now, to play counterpoint for 1 second, you have to ask the question, how many legitimate opportunities does this guy have to get in front of you in a year?
Yeah, probably only a few. So
if he takes any opportunity he can to get in front of you,
yeah.
I understand his motivation and I understand the gamble. And I'm here to tell everybody on the entire planet that gamble is never worth it ever.
Well, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Don't be in such a damn hurry.
Yeah.
People, especially casting directors, are easy to find. They do casting director workshops. They're at networking events. You can find most people. You know, casting directors are not that you want to meet. If you take the time and you're professional and not creepy about it, you will bump into each other at some point or another, and you can introduce yourself and say, hey,
yep,
I'm a fan of your work. Would love to work with you someday.
And that goes a whole lot. Like, if that had happened at, like, the LA Actors Tweet Up, which is coming up here soon.
Where you'll be.
I should be. I absolutely would respect that more than having somebody go through this and deprive that opportunity.
Because now you'll know.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before we close up for this episode, Keith, what's with the shirt? I know we're not a visual experience here, but
I'm sure that we'll have a picture of it up on the website.
Well, I'm going to Facebook a picture very soon.
I am wearing a shirt that my lovely wife bought me as my Christmas present.
I know, let's all take a picture.
Everybody's in shirt.
iPhones out.
Dear God, I have three iPhones pointed at me.
Okay.
And the web series that this shirt is from is Haterbot, which is one of the funniest pieces of shit I've ever seen, ever. It is Gordon Bakerbone and his crew out in New York who are
doing... Steven Stover is his partner.
They're crazy people, and Haterbot is a crack dealer, and he is listed as a crack phenomenon.
This is an animated show, by the way.
It's hilarious, and it's wonderful. And so Bonnie was drunk one night on the internet surfing, and her choice was to buy herself pink lingerie or buy me this t-shirt.
This is a lie.
And so she chose to buy me this t-shirt to prove her love to me rather than sexy lingerie, which makes me... I'm glad I have the t-shirt, but I'm not exactly happy.
Well, we are proud to say that Haterbot does have a home at somebodysbasement.com.
Yes.
You can experience the crack phenomenon. My favorite is I Hold Myself in Contempt. You'll have to check out somebodysbasement.com to see what that's all about. So congratulations, Keith, on your crack phenomenon-ness.
I am so excited. I actually have... Bonnie got me two of these shirts. And
because he's gonna wear them out.
Well, I know for a fact.
Should get a little like blazer jacket.
I know for a fact that I am going to wear this t-shirt a lot, but especially up and coming. So I have put one away for the day that I actually get to meet Gordon and I get to go, I'm your biggest fan.
That's awesome.
That's so great. Yeah,
that's all awesome. Right. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us this week. We have enjoyed spending it with you. I'm Ryan Basham. Our producer and crack phenomenon is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And our special guest this week has been the wonderful, the magnificent, the beautiful Tanya Perez.
Yay. Thank you.
And, of course, your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Keep creating.